Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of us have dreams and visions and probably has to be everyone. Yeah, the dreams. Even if you work you have a business or you have a 5-year business plan. That's you just want you see the business, how the business is going to be in 5 years' time or wherever the situation. So everyone has one, whether it's to do with your family. You just want to see where your children will be in the next 3 to 5 years. Today, really, I'm just going to talk about what are you seeing. What are you seeing? You know, this is a year of pressing into the blessing of God. And we'll go through the scriptures. You know, what you see is really important. It's paramount. You know, there are different kinds of, we have this physical eyes. And this physical eyes is part of our body. So it helps us to see, have that vision. We have the soulish eyes. When the Bible talks about, we go into the word, that's the mind. You know, it talks about the mind. That's the eye. The mind, it helps you to see, to imagine. It gives you that imagination. You have that imaginative ability. And we have the spiritual eyes as well. That's to do with your spirit. And that's what God shows you. With that one, God has to show you, reveal things to you. As your spirit is open. But this is interesting, that vision, the philosopher Plato, the way he defined what vision is a process of forming light, light of an image, of an object. When an image, a light hits an object, it forms an image and conveys that image to your eyes. And that's the vision. So light is paramount. You need light when it comes to vision, and you have to see. Seeing is God's thing. So vision, and because light is something to do with vision, the word of God is light, isn't it? So it depends on what light you're using, is approaching or you're looking through. Because you can have that screen over there, and depending on what light falls on that screen, and determines how you see. And it can determine the color as well. It can be blurred, it can be really clear. So the light that you use, you see through, is very important. And the word of God is the perfect light that we have to see through. Hallelujah. Yeah, so I was looking through the dictionary about what a visionary, we've heard that word. And visionaries, first it said is you're thinking and planning the future with imagination or wisdom, or is a person with original ideas about what the future or could behold. I'll read that again. A person with original ideas about what the future will or could be like. So you have that picture. You see, the Bible talks about in John chapter 1 verse 8, it said no one has seen God. Has any of us seen God? They said, God is a spirit, the Father of spirits. No one has seen God. But Jesus, this is what Jesus said. And I'll just, meditating on that. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me have seen the Father. So Jesus came to earth for people to see who Jesus is. He said, once you've seen me, then you know what Jesus looks like. So you can imagine who Jesus was. Those who were around Jesus, and they know how the Father looks like. So image is very important. And now we have the Word. Jesus is the Word. So we see the Word, and we know how God looks like, even though no one has seen the Father. Well, you see that with our eyes, not that physical eyes. So seeing is really important. Hallelujah. So as we press into the blessing, and Pastor Paul was talking about, everyone has press into your blessing that you have, whether it's to do with children, it's to do with business, it's to do with your health, whatever area that you have to press into, you have to see the end product. We'll go into the Bible and see the reason why you have to. It's really important. And, you know, throughout the Passover fasting, God was speaking to my spirit, to speaking to my heart about seeing. Even, you know, it's a year of pressing into the blessing. But you have to see what you want, what God, you have to see it. If you can't see it, God can give you. We'll see that in the Bible. You have to see it because you have to know what you want. Yeah, you can't just leave it. You can't be neutral. So you have to see what you want. So I was just thinking, I'm pondering over these things, and I'm thinking, okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 13 from the beginning, please, Gifty. The book of Genesis. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. And it reads, it said, and there was strife. It's not strife. Yes, strife. There was strife between the headsmen of Abram's livestock and the headsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Next verse, please. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between the headsmen and your headsmen, for we are brethren. Next verse, please. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. Just hold on for a minute. This is Abraham, when God commanded Abraham to leave his home, verse 12. That's the previous verse. And he left. He said, leave your country, one. Leave your family, two. Leave your father's house. And I will bless you. I'll make you a great nation, he said. When you read the previous verse 12, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. He said, I'll bless anyone who blesses you. And I'll curse anyone who curses you. So that was what God told Abraham. So that's what Abraham did. And Abraham took Sarai, the name had not changed yet, and Lot, his nephew. So this is Lot. And Lot, being the nephew of Abraham, was looking with the natural eyes. Abraham said there was strife because they didn't have, you know, they had so much that the land couldn't contain them. So there was that, you know, conflict. Oh, you know. But Abraham said, okay, you know what? Out of love, you just look and choose. Him being the young one, the younger one, and they say, please, uncle, can you please choose? And he said, no, I just looked and even chose the good one. That's pleasing to the eye. So, yeah, that's where we are. So he chose, you know, he said, if you choose, Abraham said, if you choose the left, I'll choose the right. Verse 10, please. He said, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go for toward Zoar. Next verse, please. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and that's where all the good things were, pleasing to die. It looked really good. And they separated from each other. Next verse. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched. Well, he was in the cities of the plain and pitched his tents even as far as Sodom. Next verse, please. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Next verse. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated. So this is, I'll just give you again the background. There was strife. There was conflict between Abraham's men, headsmen, and Lot. And, you know, Abraham, being the matured one, said, okay, you choose. Wherever you choose, I don't need this strife in this place. So what he said is, Lot chose the better one, pleasing to the eye. As soon as Lot left, God told Abraham, he said, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Next verse, please. For all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants. Say amen. Amen. So I'll come back to the top of that, but I'll just go with the seeing bit. So God had told Abraham that you have to see the land, the north, the south, the east, whatever you see, I give to you. Whatever you see, I give to you. And it's interesting that in the previous verses, God gave Abraham that promise. But Abraham was in that place where, you know, sometimes you can walk in obedience, but you can't see what God is doing. God say move, you just move. But you don't, your spirit or your soul, your mind can't picture what God wants to do. You just obey anyway. In verse 15, Genesis chapter 15, I'm building something up. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham complained that he was childless. Remember, when God visited Abraham was 75. When God visited Abraham, Abraham was 75. In 15, Abraham was 99. Abraham was complaining. That's 14 years after that. Oh, I'm childless. You know, I'm childless. Why? You know, probably let's have a look, please. Genesis 15, please, so that you know what I'm talking about. Genesis 15. 15 from the top, please. 1. I just want us to go through the scriptures. Hallelujah. Is someone there? It's crashing. I'll read from my phone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Yes. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside. So God has already visited Abraham and given the promise. But Abraham just did out of obedience. He didn't see that. But God wanted Abraham to see what he wanted to do. So Abraham had to come out. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed. Verse 6. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So before Abraham had to see for God to believe. Well, you know, sometimes God speaks and you just obey. You just obey. But you have to see. When you get to a place where you can see what God is going to do in your life, in your children's life, what God has for you, your life in the future, what kind of plan God has for you. When you see that, it brings a different kind of belief. That's when Abraham believed. Even though Abraham was being obedient to God, he just believed when he saw those stars in his spirit and he saw what God was going to do. Then he said what? And he believed. Then God accounted it to him for righteousness. How did I know that? Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13. Gifted, please. Verse 13, verse 14 or 15. 13, the previous verses. God has already mentioned this to Abraham. But because Abraham can see, he said, 13, please. And he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 14 years. I think the previous verse, please. He said that to Abraham, but Abraham didn't see that. Abraham didn't see that. Hallelujah. Yes, verse 15. Verse 15. Okay, so verse 15, it said, now as for you, you shall go forth to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Say good old age. There's old age and there's good old age. And that's our portion, good old age, in Jesus' name. And it's, and he said, next verse, please. 13 verse 15. It said, I'll read from here. Verse 13, verse 15. Chapter 13, verse 15. He said, I give to you and your descendants forever. And verse 16 said, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Jesus, God said this to Abraham, but Abraham still didn't get it. He keeps saying it. He said it in previous verse, in verse 12. In verse 13, he said that again. I'll make your descendants innumerable. Is that a word? Yes. So, but he didn't see that. But in verse 15, he complained again. And God had to bring him how to see, make him see what he was going to do. And he grasped that in his spirit. As soon as he said, he believed. When he saw it, he believed. And Jesus said, I counted that unto righteousness. So before you see, you have to see what God is going to do in your life. Whatever you're believing God to do in your life, you have to see it. If you can't see it, God can't do it. It's a principle. You have to see it. We are learning this morning, but you know, so you have to see what God wants to do. Whatever, if you have to see that child change, you have to see the end product. You have to see that business, where that business is. You have to see yourself pregnant. You have to see the pregnancy is going the long term in 9 months. You have to see good health. You have to see that sickness vanish. You have to see that pain gone. You have to see the end product, what you want God to see, what the word of God says. Hallelujah. You know, that's where faith begins, really. That's where, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you seeing, that seeing, whatever you've seen is that evidence that you're holding. That's the end product. That's the evidence. That's the end product. So you're holding on to that. And no one can take that from you. But if you can't see it, then you'll be tossed to and fro. Tomorrow you're seeing some people, they always see people chasing them. They always see people chasing them. They always see something going wrong. They always see the negative. And that's not God. It's certainly not God. You have to change your mind. You have to get grasp. It's not that with that physical eyes. You have to grasp that. The reason why I said that, Gifty, can I have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 in the Amplified, please? When the Bible says you see with that soulish eye, that where you can have that imagination. If God has not given you that word in a dream, in a vision, or you've not seen that, you have to create that your own. Make that your own using the word. Whatever you want to see, the end product. Imagination is powerful. It's really powerful. This is what he said. Among them, the God of this world has blinded the minds. How can your mind be blinded? But so is the mind. That's the eyes of the mind. That's where the imagination is. And that's where the power is. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing. He never said he's blinded their eyes to prevent them from seeing. He said he's blinded their mind to prevent them from seeing, because they've got their natural eyes. They can see, just like we can see. But there's a different set of eyes that you need when it comes to God. Hallelujah. So he said, to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So you have to lift that eyes. You have to see things from God's perspective. The Bible said hope is that is seen. It's not hope. If I'm hoping for to get Pastor P's Range Rover, and I said I have to picture that. I have to picture that, because hope that is seen is not hope, and hope, faith is built on hope. Hallelujah. So you have to have that picture. You have to see it. And, you know, in this year of pressing into the blessing, we fasted. You have to know what you're asking God for. You have to see the end product for God to make that happen. Hallelujah. It's not that we are helping God, but God wants us to think like him. He's big.
You know, in verse 12, in Genesis chapter 12, when God told Abraham that I'll make you a great nation, Abraham had no, there were no great nations around. Like, I mean, in terms of population, there were no much. So he didn't have the eyes to see. But so God had to make him see what he wanted to do. Because those days, imagine you're Abraham. There are no great nations around. Population of the, probably, I'm not sure, it's probably 2 million or it's the whole world. The number is, but God said, I'm going to make your descendants what? It's not uncountable. If you can count the dust of the air, then you can count your descendants. So God is big. God is big. Let's see God in that realm. Let's see God in that room. So whatever we are believing God for in this year of pressing into the blessing, let's see. That's why meditation is so important. Meditation, Pastor Paul talked about it. When he got saved, he saw himself on a plane preaching, and it's happened. And there's more to come. He said he see himself having the plane, the flying around the world. And that's that vision. You have to see it. Because if you can't think like God, it's not going to happen. You have to see it. And I encourage you this morning, whatever you're believing God for, as we press into the blessing this year, you have just see it. Whatever you're asking God for, just don't ask God, God, I need a job. I need a business. Lord, what do you want? Lord, I need a husband. Tell God what you need. Just have that picture. It's interesting that in my spirit, I admire worship leaders. I do. Women worship leaders. And when I see women worshiping, you know, when I see women worshiping, I admire women worship leaders. So when I see them, so anytime I see a woman worshiping and I got married to a worship leader. So Kalian, you are blessed. Hallelujah. And I love, this is a side issue. I loved this morning prayer in the upper room. You know, God, I was watching Carlyn whilst we were praying, and he was standing, and I felt the Lord was speaking to me about you. And this is a side issue. God was saying, you've broken a barrier. You see, you followed your mom's footstep, but you've broken a barrier, and your child, I don't want to mention the sex, baby, you don't want everyone to know, but yeah, your child is going to, follow your footsteps as well. And it's going to take, you're taking that family to the next level, because, you know, that ceiling has been broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, when it comes to... When it comes to salvation is also based on us seeing. Can I have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, please? And you can see why seeing is so important. It's paramount to our Christian walk. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Can I have that in the New King James Version, please? Thank you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, that word is not there just for being their sake. It's there for a reason. And that word, behold, means see. See, all things have become new. So God is telling us, if you are in Christ, you become a new creation or creature, all things have passed away. You have to see that everything in your life is new. Until, even though God has given you a new life, until you see who you are, your new identity, you cannot attain that. So that word is there for a reason. Behold, you have to see that everything in your life is what? Has become new. It's not that will become. It's really clear. Have become. So you have to see, and faith is now. You have to grasp that picture. You have to hold on to that now. Then God will make that happen in that process. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1, have a look at that as well. And see why God is seeing is really important. Thank you, Gift. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. It's a scripture that we know. It said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me," to Jeremiah, "saying, Jeremiah, what do you see?" This is the previous verse. It said, "Before I formed thee, I knew you, I knew all that." And it came to maturity. God was trying to build, grow him up to be the person that he wants him to be. Forget the prophet bit. It could be a prophet, apostle, pastor, whatever. But it said, "What do you see?" And this is in line because it's a scripture that we always use. "I know the plans that I have for you." It's still in Jeremiah 11. So this is, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree." Next verse, please. "Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well." So when we see well, God is... When we see well, God is what? Pleased. He said, "Thou hast seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." So before you see, you have to see. He said, as soon as Jeremiah saw, he said, "Well, I'm ready now to perform my word." Other version said, "I'll hasten now to do my word," at that moment. Amen. 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 So seeing is really, really important. So all these verses that we've seen, I'll just encourage you, wherever you're believing, just take time to meditate. Take time to see where you want to be. Take time to see your ministry, your business, your children. You know, when you pray, just sit down and see that as well. And God, once it gets into your spirit and you take hold of it, no devil in hell, no man on earth can take that away from you. And God will perform it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just running up. However, just God also mentioned a few things that I'll just go through quickly. Things that can block, stop us from seeing rightly, which is strife. You know, we talked about there was strife between Abraham's headsmen and Lot's headsmen. Strife is, well, another word is what? Conflict. You know, conflict is what? Discord. It's the ability to get on top of one, gain superiority over one another. You know, strife. And that will stop us from receiving what God has for us. Because strife will stop you from seeing things from God's perspective. And we have to see things from God's perspective so for us to see. You understand? And the opposite of strife, we know, is harmony, peace. Be at peace. The Bible said, when your ways please Lord, God will even make your enemies to be at peace, be with you, you know. When your ways please the Lord, God will make your enemies be at peace with you. Strife is a weapon of the enemy. And in my life, I've seen that, you know, throughout the years. Anytime God is about to do something in my life, then something would drum up. You have this family member who will call and bring this old thing, argument, or this. I had to. He said, "I'm not ignorant of God and the devil's devices. I refuse that." So let's kick strife out of our homes, in our families, you know, because God wants to visit us. God wants to visit our families with a blessing. So let's kick those things out of our lives, in our workplaces. When someone is trying to bring strife, just you say, "No, you've got no way. I refuse to allow this." Just because God commands a blessing where there's what? Where there's unity. Where there's harmony. That's where God commands that blessing. And we are in that year of pressing into the blessing. So these things are what can hold you back from receiving the blessing that you're expecting from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible talks about in James chapter 3. He said, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So you don't want strife at all. You need harmony. You need that peace to bring that. And another one, just closing on this. Another one is where we have to look whilst we're pressing and we are trying to see what God has received is our attitude. And I'll close with this verse, our attitude. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 in the Amplified, I think it will be the Amplified. I'm closing on this one. Thank you, Carlyon. Philippians chapter 2, it said, having this same attitude in yourselves,
which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. So, you know, pride, your attitude that I know it all, I know what God is going to do already, you know, I need that person before that can happen, that's changed your perspective. I need this one on the team before that can happen. You're stopping God from God moving. Just see the end product. Whatever you have, just use whatever you have and allow God to be God. That's, he said God, Jesus is what? Jesus was God, but he didn't consider himself to be God. He humbled himself and God unto death, and God gave him a name above all names. So he saw seeing again. He saw the future. He saw what's going to come. He saw it. And in that case, he changed his attitude. Are you blessed this morning? Can we rise on our feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands in his presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this word this morning. Father, we thank you for the word that has come forth for this house as we press into the blessing. Father, give us the eyes to see what you want to do in our lives. Give us the eyes to see what you want to do in our businesses, in the lives of our children, in this house, oh Lord, to hold on to that picture, Almighty God. Father, Almighty God, we pray that, Father, any form of strife that tried to find his way into our lives, into our families, we kick that out now in Jesus' mighty name. The Father, help us to straighten up our attitude so we can see things as you see, so that we can receive from you this year, that by the end of this year, we shall say, surely the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things because you're a faithful God. We bless you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. Work in our hearts, O Lord. We thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.